o'clock on April 28, 2026. This meeting is being held in compliance with the open public meeting law. That the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on municipal bulletin board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Well, please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Longo.
Here.
Council President Lopez.
Here.
Councilwoman Foltz.
Here.
Councilman Vera.
Here.
Councilman Morris.
Here.
Councilman Rossi.
Here.
Councilman Steve.
Here.
All right, we have no approval of minutes. I would like to start by acknowledging and welcoming a student from Ms. Ryan's Law and Society class, who, as part of the class requirements, are required to come watch a borough council meeting to see how it goes, and then have to write a report on it. So, welcome. All right, our first item of business, 26-114, a resolution recognizing the resignation of Fire Chief Michael Smigocki of the Brownwood Fire Department. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Foltz?
Yes.
Councilman Garrett?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes.
All right, very good. Introduction of ordinance on first reading. This is ordinance 20. All right, okay. We're at greetings for comments and invitation for discussion. Anybody from the public would like to come up and state your name and I'm sorry, just come up to the microphone and just give us your phone.
Hi, how are you? So my name is actually Maria. I used to be a volunteer. Maria Zambrano. I used to be a volunteer firefighter with Elmbrook, Squad 23. I actually remember Councilman Guerra. How are you? So I'm actually here because I came across, I heard that, what's his name? Captain Joe was going to be the next captain. I mean, chief. And I was just wondering why. I actually reported him to the Chief Mike at that time, and I was actually content. I didn't press charges because of his daughter. I kept my dignity, and it's just really sad. It's really sad that, I don't know if you guys have kids, yes or no, I'm not sure, but he touched me inappropriately behind. We were at a kids' carnival, actually, and it's just sad, and I'm here because I want to be a lawyer. I'm actually going to be hired soon with the Carteret Fire Department, and it's just unacceptable. This has never happened before, except when I was like a child. And I don't want to stay quiet, and I just don't agree with what you guys are doing. So it's just sad because you guys didn't protect me, and some of you guys aren't even looking at me in the eye, and I'm just sad. So, yeah, that's really it. I hope he doesn't become chief. So,
okay, thank you for your comments. You are aware that we do not pick the fire chief under Title 40. It is not our decision to pick the fire chief. That's the fire department job to pick the fire chief.
The township is important.
So, as well as our borough ordinances. So, it is not for us to decide. So,
also, I appreciate you coming tonight, and I agree with you. If we were to vote on a resolution to confirm the vote, I would not.
This is your town, though. This is your town. This is who you represent.
And there's
I appreciate you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's a reason it was removed from tonight's agenda. I understand that it's going back to the fire department for further consideration.
Okay. Well, this is your department. This is who you represent.
So, I'm trying to say it's against the law. We cannot override the fire department.
But you're the mayor. But you're the mayor.
I wish I had that much power. We don't. The council doesn't. Clearly stated under Title 40, as well as our ordinance, that the fire department picks their fire.
You guys back him up. You guys are councilmen and women, sorry. And
we You do not have a volunteer fire department. We do not have a say. And I came up with what the, I know what that means. We haven't made any decision.
You're a public servant, I'm just saying. I understand.
The information.
I'm just here being very respectful, but I'm not.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I feel sorry for the incident, but I'm just telling you, you can't come and attack us because...
I'm not attacking, I'm just
I'm just, put it on us because it's not our decision.
Well, this
but was... But I should be asking you to go to maybe a board of engineers meeting and express your concern when they decide who they're fired, who they choose.
Yeah, for sure. I will. So, thank you for hearing me out. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good evening, guys. My name is Jason Chapman. I was also a member of Squad 23. I was there the night of that incident. I'm here tonight to support Maria. My message to everybody here is just plain and simple. I've watched Maria over years since this incident, what it has done to her. Everybody here present, some of the members of that department are here. It's affected her a lot. It's affected me, and it's something that our understanding of what came from that night was that he would never be an officer again. So for the people that are here, that are a part of that department, that are a part of that house, that was our understanding. And that also went to not pressing charges, right? There was a lot of thought process on our end from that night. And for anybody that has kids, anybody that has a gorgeous family who you love dearly, that's my message. You know, for that next person that comes on, me, I've become a career personnel now on the fire department. I love it. It's just something that I feel like we try so hard because of culture is a big thing in the fire service. What it was back then to what it is now. And so many people have, you know, shown so much support on what it was back then. And what it still is, and the struggle, and, you know, things that we're trying to do better with. Fire departments are changing. Unfortunately, some personnel and some behaviors are still that norm, and it sucks. And like I said, the message tonight is for that next person coming on. I don't want to see them go through anything that Maria has gone through, and what it has done to her life since then. And I just really hope, you know, Squad 23, like, I really hope that you guys think on just what that night did and what you guys can prevent, you know, because it's huge, you know, especially those of you that have kids. You know, if you had a daughter, you know, I wrote a letter when I resigned from Squad 23. I told them to read it at the meeting. I doubt it got read, you know, and... If they tell me they did, I don't really believe them. Because I spoke from the heart, you know, I spoke from how it affected us. And honestly, the whole thing was just a big smack in the face. So for that next person coming in, female especially, because the fire departments are changing, you know, really just think about that. You know, and think of that daughter, and just look at Joe, what he did. It's not okay. And he needs to live with that. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Right.
Thanks. And I actually want to thank both of you for coming up and sharing. I hope the fire department does the right thing. I mentioned to Maria beforehand, before everybody came in, told her I have a 22-year-old daughter who's in the fire department. She says, I've been around the department long enough to know that misogynistic stuff happens all the time, and it stinks.
Absolutely.
So, and you mentioned a daughter. I have one. And thank you again.
And Mr. Morris, you were like, I feel like you were the one to ask the one there. So thank you, and we see you, and we're actually going to say something, or an apology, but love it, right? Move on. You got to move on, right?
Anybody else?
So, Linda Brinchek, so it's not the jurisdiction of the council, right, the fire department, but ethically...
Selection of the fire
chiefs. But ethically, I think we can all agree that something wrong has happened, right? You can see the woman is clearly affected by it. I'm not sure how many years ago this happened. How many years? 2022, right? She's clearly affected by this. So if there is anything the council can do, right, and hopefully Firehouse 23 will do the right thing, right? You know, we all have a moral compass, you know, and I'm sure, you know, whether it's a woman or a man being violated or whatever, it's just, there's no place for it, right? And, you know, public safety, Sean, I hope, you know, you have some influence here, too, in the matter. You know, it's sad, you know, that he's not being held accountable and maybe rewarded, right, or awarded a position that he clearly probably shouldn't have, you know. So just for the record, hopefully the council will stick together and do what's right if you have the power to do something. All right. Thank you.
Right. Under, as Chief alluded to in Title 40, the appointment or election of the Chief of Volunteer Fire Company remains the prerogative of the membership of the fire company. The municipality has oversight over management of volunteer fire companies, but not day-to-day operations. Also personal to the code, they are responsible for electing the chiefs if they have an election in November. So everything that everyone is saying is being heard, but fire companies ultimately have a problem with their fire chiefs. So as the mayor alluded to, you said properly, and perhaps consider volunteers as well.
So I'm not trying to say, I mean, I have three daughters, that the incident is terrible, as described, but I agree 100% that it should not happen with a fire department anywhere in society, but I'm just explaining the law. If the law was different, the outcome might be different. I don't know what the fire department is going to choose. If we have the ability to get involved in the decision somewhere along the line, because from a legal standpoint, we're obliged, we can, then there could be a chance we do get involved. We may have the ability to override, but I don't know what they're going to eventually do and what our offer, what we can do. But by any means, we're not compassionate to what you want to do. I'm
going to
speak for myself.
Anyone? Yeah, it's not Maria that we're releasing. Of course, we're releasing. I don't have kids, but I'm a teacher. So I have 135 kids every day. And after 31 years teaching, I am proud of my record because all of them are respected. And there's no justification to what happened to you. Like the mayor was saying, we will take that to the fire department, who is in charge of selecting people. We will reconsider. You know, maybe that's what they needed. They came out and you know, and stayed their ground, and you know, and we are here to support you.
Yeah, you had Sean, Councilman Sean, that was heavily involved, and you know, my understanding was permanent
probation. Yeah, like you said, you have. I don't know everything. I'm just explaining. We are the youth.
I was involved when they interviewed me, and you guys got the lawyers involved. So that's when you guys got him involved. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but that's just how it works.
And well, question of one, I would discuss it in personnel up here. So.
Just saying, not one. Yes.
No one up here. That's not personnel issues.
Yes. You want any other questions? Okay. Moving on, opening the bids for the library. Just recording one, if you want to take over this time, what the outcome is.
So we held a bid opening for the library phase two of the construction. We received five bids. As you can see, the lowest bid that we received was $538,000. And the second lowest at this point is $745,088. The legal team and the architect are currently reviewing the bids to ensure that the lowest bidder and or second lowest bidder are responsible and responsive bidders. The resolution to award a contract will be placed on the next agenda.
We're reviewing for legal compliance.
Thank you. Can you just for the public knowledge what was the bids, the purpose of the bids, or what were we doing with it? What did the bids go out for? Construction of what? Reconstruction.
Correct. So during the asbestos abatement project, we removed all material in the building, which included flooring, walls, ceiling. So at this point, the building is down to the studs. And we are looking to get the library services up and running. And so in order to do that, we are going to redo the main floor, which is putting back all the electrical, the walls, the ceilings, and all of that. And that's what this bid included. The alternates, I tried to see pricing for including the mezzanine levels to see if we could afford to redo those. And then we have window shades, and I believe that covers it for the alternate bids.
Okay, and we vote on the second bids, then we'll vote on the alternates. Is that how it works, or will everybody?
We'll be voting on the full price.
The full price. Correct. Very good. Okay. Any questions from the council? All right, quarterly department reports. First department of works.
Right, I'll go through the engineering report there, and Captain Morris will do public works to what he needs to liaison. So quickly, the 25 road improvement program that last time I was here reporting was under review by DOT. DOT approved the plans for advertising. From their portion, the local portion, I had our engineer Colliers meet a couple changes that I wanted to see in the plans that would help with the construction. Those were done, so I reviewed them. Everything was good. The project has been advertised for bidding, with bids received on May 5th, with an intent to conditionally award on May 12th. When I say conditionally, in case everything checks out, and then obviously after that, DOT has to concur with the award because there is DOT funding involved. Again, this project finishes up Franklin Street from Vossler. It's also the one block of Hardy from Thomas to Wheatland, and it also involves resurfacing of Daley Place along with some underdrains and drainage improvements for that road. So that's moving forward. That'll be into construction this summer. Just a quick update on the pool. All the damage from the deep freeze we had with the pipes in the pump house, that's all been repaired, and the pool is actually being filled as we speak. This new pool is amazing on how easy it is to open it. The cover just came off on Friday, and between Friday and this afternoon, everything was emptied out, power washed, and ready to be filled. So the pool is being filled as we speak. It'll be filled by tomorrow. And then I got chemicals coming by the end of the week. We're going to get the filters up and running. And that pool's going to be operational. Little pool, but pool will be operational and ready to go in plenty of time for our Memorial Day weekend opening. This will also allow our lifeguards to potentially train on site and not have to go off site like we did last year. Along with that, staying with Cottington Park, as a lot of you have probably seen, the playgrounds have been demolished. My staff demolished both playgrounds there. We're able to get about $800 in scrap metal for the borough. Took everything out, and we have new playgrounds coming in hopefully by the end of this week or Monday. He got delayed a little bit. He's going to come in midweek. So if he's able to come in on Friday, he'd be in the contractor. He's going to start Friday. Friday we'll start Billion Park. In Billion, we're doing a swing set, some small ride-on features for the little ones, and some touch-sensitive areas for interaction with the younger kids a little more involved in the open areas. Once he's done there, he's coming over to Cottington to install both playgrounds. And at the same time, those two grass areas inside the pool area will be turf. They'll be artificial turf. We tried to grow grass there last year. We were successful, but it was used so much, which is a good thing, that by the end of the summer, it was already back down to dust and dirt and mud on the rain. So we're going to turf that. So he'll be doing that same time as the playgrounds. Everything will be operational by Memorial Day weekend. Playgrounds will be up, usable, safety services in, the turfing inside the pool area. That's all going to be completed and ready to go. So we've got a busy month ahead of us. Try to keep my hair short so I can't pull too much. Staying with the rec center, I recently replaced all lighting in the rec center with LED lights. It's much brighter there. Actually, if you turn on one bank instead of two, it's actually as bright as it was when all the old lights were working. That's how bright it is in that rec center now. And with LEDs, obviously, we're going to save a substantial amount of money on electricity, which is good these days with the amount of what we're paying for electricity. Staying with that, so I met with an HVAC engineer, along with our engineer on site the other day. I did get a price from Millennium Mechanical to an option to repair, an option to replace. I didn't feel it was all-encompassing, so I solicited these guys. They're going to give a study on what is wrong with the system, and then a proposal to do bid specs, and then I'll solicit a couple quotes from it, and whether we go with a repair on a 15-year-old system, or if it makes sense to try to go a little higher and replace, you'll have to make that determination at that time. But the short story of that is the recognition is moving forward in the rec center, and then we should be up and running and done, and hopefully for a while we'll have more repairs to make over there.
That system, I felt, didn't work proper from the day it was built.
And I'm going to say this candidly, Mr. Morris, when you have somebody build it, and for grass or very little, they're going to put the most inexpensive piece of equipment they can to meet code. And basically, you guys all say, no, you get what you pay for. And we did. We had some success with it, some not so much, but we got what we paid for, so to speak. So now it's time to bring this building, we want this building to be there for many more years, so now it's time to to invest in it and try to fix the, for lack of a better term, the sins of the past.
Yes, we've used it. It's able to be used all these years. It just seemed weird that.
Yeah, and there's some.
Because I was there when it was built, and I was like, you think, you walk in, you're like, hey, shiny new. And I'm like, that doesn't work like shiny new, like I expected.
The there's some gremlins that still in that building, but we're eliminating them as we go. And that's pretty much my report for tonight, unless anybody has any other questions.
Any questions? Councilor Morris, you're the public works.
Oh, yeah. All
right, we'll come to you in the other one.
Yeah, so otherwise, you get some committee reports. I don't get to talk.
All right, the police department.
All right, get the glasses out. I'm a barring kid, my friend. Again, this is the first quarterly report for this year, over the first 3 months of this year. I'll read off some numbers and go into some other things that we've done throughout the first couple months. Calls for service, we're just under 6,000 calls for service for January, February, March. We had 42 DWI arrests. Just about 750 more vehicle violations, 1,820 parking violations, 17 tavern complaints, 44 prisoners were held in our revamped cell area. Thank you for all that again. And there was 139 total arrests. We also did about 88 more vehicle crashes, 688 property checks throughout the first 3 months, and I know this is going to be a big number, but vehicle mileage, just under 30,000 miles in the first 3 months of the year. Those are the numbers. You guys get your monthly reports, so you can see even for yourself just everything that goes on. A couple calls to note over the last couple months. We had an arrest with use of force and a taser deployment with an emotionally disturbed individual. During that incident, one of my officers was stabbed and slapped on the arm. Thankfully, he's back to work after 12 stitches or so. We had another incident down on Fisher Avenue. It was a home invasion. That was also a taser deployment. Thankfully, no one was injured on that one. We're currently working on what appears to be a major fraud case down at 100 West Main Street with a trucking company. Code enforcement's been involved. Fire marshals have been involved. That is still an ongoing investigation. And the two big ones that happened this month, I'll touch on, but again, these are both isolated incidents, and they are both under investigation, so I don't have a lot of details that I can really provide at this point. But I think everybody in the room is probably aware of the two shots fired calls that we had, one being over on West High Street, one being over on Grove Avenue. Thankfully, we were able to pull a couple of guns off the street. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, and again, these are isolated incidents. We've been involved in a lot of community policing events. This has been something we've been pushing for the last couple of years. We did the volleyball tournament with the high school, basketball tournament also at the high school. We just recently did Take Your Kid to Work Day. We brought some of our equipment up there to the high school and showed all the kids and the teachers and staff there. Battleground Brook, Linda, of my 24 years here, that was probably the most amount of people we've ever had. My opinion, and I think everybody in this room would probably agree, it was a good event. So thank you for everything you did for that. She's here. We just had the Law Public Safety class in for a tour. We showed them around. They got to meet the new dog and watch him bite me. That's okay. And we were also there for the high school blood drive, which was another really good event that obviously helped a lot of people. A couple upcoming events. We have our first run coming up in June. I believe it's June 5th. Also that same night, the plug for our PBA. We're coming to cornhole tournament, so that should be a good time. And we also have Race and Top, which we've done in the last 3 years or so. That's usually a really good time. We get out there, we try to keep up with the kids, and my daughter really keeps me, but that's okay. A couple other things that we've done throughout the year that have already been talked about, so I'm just going to make it real quick. We had our on-site assessment for accreditation, which went very well. The assessors were very impressed with how we operate over at the police department. We just have one more hoop to jump through. Hopefully in June, we have to go in front of the board and they get to ask us questions and things like that. But other than that, we should be a re-accredited agency for the third time, I believe, now. The agency was also awarded the FBI Leader Trilogy Award, which basically, all of our command staff have to take the FBI data trilogy courses. There's three courses. We all did that, so our department was awarded that. Cam and Brooke came on with Officer Ackerson. They finished their initial training, and they are out on the road. If you see a black pickup truck with a cap on it, that's them. A very friendly dog. It's already been out to work a couple times, and he's going to be doing really good. Officer Robinson, who we did a proclamation tour with Dennis Stable for the flyer, she was awarded the Heroism Award for the New Jersey Women in Law Enforcement Organization, which was a really nice event down there. And just the last meeting, the finally brought our department up to staff, hiring Marquise Williams. He is through his onboarding process, and he is currently in the FBO process. So you'll see him out there every few seconds. I think he's going to be a great addition to our department. So thank you for all the help. Thank you for all the support over the last couple months. And that's what we've got. Let's get into the questions.
Very good, Chief. Thank you. Anybody questions for Chief?
I do want to say I appreciate the continual updates on social media posts, sharing a lot of information.
Yeah, we had our one alter who was really doing a lot of that for us. Unfortunately, she was one who was after the shoulder injury.
Okay.
She's back now, so hopefully we'll be switching a lot more of this stuff out. We kept up with it pretty well, but now that she's back, she does a lot of the funny stuff, like the canine in the sidecar and motorcycle. That was pretty good.
They're entertaining and they're engaging, but I'm talking about even these are the stats for March.
Yep.
These are the results of the speed test, and here's where they're located. Probably had a little more questions on that than you probably expected, since it seemed pretty self-explanatory to me.
And since we're talking about the speed and stuff like that, up on the North End over the last 4 weeks or so, I know there's been some complaints up there. We've done just over 65 radar posts or traffic posts up in the area. They're out there. Really not a lot of places to hide and really catch people, but sometimes it's more of education than issuing. But we did issue 5 or 6 warnings, and we did write about 3 summonses up in that area. And also, just to be a little more specific, we did put our JMAR box up there. And out of the 878 cars that went past this thing, only 3% of that. Which again, we all wish it would be zero, but it's not. And hopefully those 3 people, or that 3% were the ones we caught. So hopefully that curves it. We're going to continue doing them all around town and put out the equipment that we have.
I can't even imagine getting to 57 on that stretch.
I can only imagine. I don't want to throw my guys under the bus, so I'm hoping it was somebody responding to a call.
Well, that would be reasonable, imagine it wasn't that, right?
Probably not.
No, unfortunately. All right, but anyway.
I'm hoping. Yeah,
electric scooter.
Yeah, electric scooter.
Anyway, thank you.
That's a whole lot of work.
Thanks, Chief.
No other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Chief.
My department, Chief Smith. So as of tonight, the department has responded to our first group of calls for service. And live burn training that was scheduled for last Saturday was canceled due to rain. All of our current equipment and apparatus is in good working order. There's nothing out of place. Once we get the budget approved, we've been working hard on showing up budget. Maintenance of the apparatus will start. There's some outstanding issues that we had from last year, but they will be rectified very soon. The 2026 revision of the operational guidelines are currently in effect and under review of the department. They were revised to reflect the current DFS and PIOSH standards. Once they're completed, the internal review will be submitted to the liaison and the administrator to be presented to you guys as a resolution with our operational guidelines. Just to conclude, as the department works through some leadership and department decisions, I will remain the department officer in charge as the deputy chief. Anything with the fire department will go through me. So, my phone is on. If you guys have any questions, concerns, or comments, if you don't have my number, you can send me an email and I'll get it to you. I will remain the department officer in charge as the deputy chief for the time. So.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for your service. Anybody questions for the chief? EMS.
Good evening. How is everybody? So I'll start off with our calls. So for the quarter, we're at 459 for the year. So we're on pace to match or beat our previous year's run reports. And that's 157 calls for March. So again, we're on pace. The fleet, our third ambulance that was purchased from Quakertown Fire, has been painted. I was actually expecting a call today that it was going to be finished being bucked. As soon as we get that back, I'm going to be meeting with a couple of vendors to get some prices just to be sure that we're being fiscally responsible, but we do believe that we have the vendors that we want to use already. So then after that, it's lettering and outfitting, and it'll be into the rotation, and we'll be able to take our less reliable ambulance and make that our reserve. The other two ambulances are currently in service. 4BLS one still does experience the same light issue. It seems like we fixed one issue, only to call it another. So we're still chasing that around. The replacement for the 4CAR one, or the command vehicle, is at the upfitter. Our roster is currently at 16, with one on education leave, one remaining on medical or injury leave. We do have three new applicants that have been interviewed. One of them has already completed the onboarding, as you can see in the agenda tonight, so she'll be joining us this week, with the other two hopefully shortly to follow. We did partner with the Fire Marshal's Office. I want to give credit to Eric Mickelson for being heads up about this. I'm not sure where he sourced it, but there's some magnets, probably about this big. It's vinyl, and it goes on your refrigerator, and it says File of Life really big on the bottom. And inside the clear pocket is a little piece of paper. And when you unfold it, a resident of the town, whether it's communication issues, access needs, they're elderly, they live alone, any number of factors, they can write down medications, their doctor's information, their emergency contacts. They can put all the pertinent information that we're looking for as EMS when we come in the door, or even when PD arrives to first triage a call. It's a huge piece for us, and it's also a great thing for us to be able to show up to, you know, the senior meetings and whatnot that the PD has regularly. We'll join them there, and we'll distribute them that way, as we are trying to build a greater relationship with the seniors in town. The station, I'm still working on trying to fix the deck. I had a vendor pinned down, and that's not quite working out right now, so drop back and punt on that, and I'll follow up with you guys in the next report. The floor was redone, as we've discussed before. The sewer line was repaired. That's going to be all on NJAW. So they should be making contact with the fire company to make sure that the apron is restored back to its original poor concrete state. The boiler downstairs was repaired. The water heater is due. It's over 20 years old. Anybody who's owned a home for long enough knows that a 20-year-old water heater is not to be trusted. But it's still working, so I hope it didn't hear me. The building still serves the department very well. The membership's very happy, and we've got just enough space for our stuff. We've also moved a number of OEM assets over to the building as well to try to relieve some space in other places. I want to jump into OEM. So, anybody have questions about?
Chief, how'd you make that with the cameras over there?
So, the cameras are here. Simply Safe had told me that they were going to just make this phone call, and somebody will come out and help you once the hardware arrives. I made the phone call, and it was to a third party that wanted more money. I installed a Simply Safe system before. It's really Simply Safe. So I think we're going to end up just doing this stuff. It's literally no wiring. If anybody's ever done a Simply Safe system, it's literally stick and peel kind of thing. Were there any other questions about NS?
The sign. Are you working on a sign for the
room? Yes, I am. Given the current budget state, I wanted to be fiscally responsible with two unreliable ambulances. So I have some prospective designs to share, and yes, we'll be moving forward with that.
We appreciate you being just responsible.
Yes, as I'm sure you
will. Make it paper.
Anything else for EMS? All right, this will be very quick. OEM, we've had 5 calls since January. We have one event, the Battle of Donbrook, again. Three members attended the NJEPA conference, which is nice because literally by registering, showing up, we get 18 of the credits that we need annually to maintain our in-favor status with county and the state. And
Chief Giannotto and I both attended the TIMS Train the Trainer. TIMS is the Traffic Incident Management System in the state of New Jersey and actually federally. And they've now combined the federal DOT program with New Jersey because New Jersey always has its own flavor. It matched together the federal and the New Jersey DOT programs. So Chief Giannotto and I can now run classes for Dale's guys, the fire department, the police department, if that's what they want to do. And it's a program that's designed on preventing loss of life and injury on the side of roadways. So it was a little painful, of course, but the outcome at the end of us being able to deliver here locally without having to pay for it or having to worry about scheduling an instructor is a huge win for us. Those five call-outs for OEM included a serious motor vehicle collision on 22 in January, yet again another tractor-trailer under our underpass at the roundabout. We had an extended operation for a traffic light at Osler and Union, and of course the storm in March, there were a number of members out to support the community at that time. Any questions about OEM?
OEM question?
Were you involved in that car fire I saw somebody post on social media?
On
28? Yeah.
I was there.
That was raging.
Yeah.
That was wild.
That
wasn't electric. Was that electric car or regular?
That was regular, yes.
Okay.
There was, I don't want
to step on your toes, Chief Smith. So, the vehicle was a Dodge. It was a Dodge. But Transcend, no, they all managed to stay connected, I believe they are. There was an electric car fire that spread back into the passenger compartment and then into the service body area. That's just the case. We had a couple of lithium ion batteries that became involved, a couple of propane tanks that became involved. And just where this truck decided that it wanted to get fired, there was a transformer that was also involved. So everything that could have gone wrong that done that way went wrong. Then I had to make 1.7 because we had a piece of car truck. So everything that went wrong could have gone wrong, went wrong, but we still put the fire out, got the road over.
I mean, there was somebody who shared like a cell phone video from the Mountain Avenue, the Union Avenue intersection. So pretty far away. And when I like paused it, I was like, whoa. I don't think that's probably about as close as they could have gotten without getting singed.
It was a good fire for 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. All right. I figured there had to be more than one person in the room who was there, so I wanted to find out.
So that would be a messenger, yes, but I was not. I was already in that.
Okay.
He was there.
He got here right after that call. So
wow. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The finance department.
All right. I promise I'm going to try to shorten this as best I can. This report is submitted to the Borough Council to provide an overview of the Borough's financial activity through the first quarter of calendar year 2026 and through April 26, 2026. In comparison to anticipated revenues as established and introduced 2026 municipal budget. Overall, revenues are trending generally within expected ranges to this point in the fiscal year. Certain revenue categories have exceeded initial projections while others remain below anticipated collection levels, which is typical during the early months of the fiscal cycle due to seasonal billing patterns, statutory collection schedules, and operational activity levels. Looking at our revenues right now, for other licenses, we have collected as of April 26, $30,505 against our initial anticipation of $20,000. For other fees and permits, we've collected $15,140.09 against our anticipation of $45,000. Collections in this category remain below the anticipated level to date. This category historically fluctuates based on permitting and seasonal activity and is expected to improve as construction and development activity increases throughout the year. In terms of municipal court revenue, we've collected $123,564.94 against our anticipation of $475,000. Municipal court revenues are tracking within expected early year performance ranges. Court-related revenues typically accumulate steadily throughout the year based on case processing values. For our parking meter revenues, we've collected $92,488.67 against anticipation of $250,000. Parking meter collections are trending within anticipated levels for the reporting period and reflect consistent utilization rates for parking infrastructure. For our interest on investments, this is the interest that is accumulated on our bank accounts. We have collected $117.82 against our anticipation of $555,000. Please keep in mind that interest earnings remain dependent on prevailing market rates and available cash balances. The finance department is frequently meeting with different banking institutions to see if we can get a better rate. I had a meeting just yesterday with Kearney Bank. That was offering a competitive interest rate. For our refuse fees, we've collected $276,452.71 against anticipation of $972,000. Refuse fees collections are progressing at expected levels based on billing cycles and scheduled collection periods. For our UCC, my good friend Steve, we've collected $89,529 against our anticipation of $165,000. Our UCC fee collections are performing strongly and trending favorably relative to anticipated levels. Continued development activity may support sustained performance in this category. In relation to housing inspection, we collected $17,461 against our anticipation of $450,000. Housing inspection fees collections are currently below anticipated revenues. This category will continue to be closely monitored as inspection activity increases throughout the year. For our pilot collections, we're at $778,937.97 against our anticipation of $1.9 million. Our collections are progressing within expected ranges based on scheduled payment structures. Continued monitoring will ensure timely receipt of remaining payments. We're expecting our second quarter payments to come in effective May 1st, so that should be picking up quite soon. For our ambulance billing, we're at $112,289.84.93 against anticipation of $375,000. Ambulance billing revenues are trending within anticipated ranges for the supporting period. Going back to what Mike just said about the call volume, this is reflecting ongoing EMS activity levels. Based on the review of revenues through April 26, 2026, other licenses have exceeded expectations early in the fiscal year. UCC fees are trending favorably relative to projections. Housing inspection fees remain below anticipated levels and warrant continued review. Most major revenue streams are tracking proportionally with seasonal expectations and billing cycles. Pilot and refuse fee selections are inconsistent with scheduled payment timing. Overall, the borough's revenue performance in the first quarter reflects stable financial conditions with no material adverse trends identified at this time. It is recommended that the finance committee continue to monitor revenue trends on a quarterly basis and that no budgetary adjustments are recommended at this time based on revenue performance. The finance department will continue to closely monitor all revenue activity and provide updates and financial reporting to the finance committee and the borough council throughout the fiscal year to ensure responsible fiscal management and transparency. And also, on this report is the introduction of the 2026 municipal budget.
Any questions? Thank you. Code enforcement, Steve?
Save the best for last.
We got a few more, but
save the best for middle.
I think why I didn't give out tonight is to hear your report. That's what I
thought. Save the best for middle.
This is for the first quarter. So obviously, we're still maintaining our targeted inspections for Columbus Place, Talmadge Avenue, Maiden Lane, and the side streets. Focusing on property maintenance, signage, compliance, garbage accumulation, building facade conditions. We are now moving towards the Union Avenue. The end of April, we started this, and going into May. If you've noticed that anybody who drives down Union Avenue find all those temporary signs out there, they pop up like dandelions in your front yard when you don't want them. we're removing this, we find them, look at the building owner, tell them that they're not allowed to have those type of signs, they're prohibited by ordinance. I think that between the SID and us, we made some progress on Main Street. It still needs more work, obviously. Right now, we're going into the rental registration and billing process for June. That's when they all become due. We're also scheduling the state and Schlitz inspections, because we are a Schlitz inspector town. Some project updates. There is one, obviously, we have said before, got their full CO for 75 additional units, 300 Meridia, as their TCO for 60 rental units. I don't think they have any occupancy yet, but that's moving forward. I have also received two demolition permits for the two buildings that are part of Commerce Commons that have to come down. We're waiting on utility disconnection letters. I've also received two applications for demolition for Maiden Lane and Mountain Avenue. We're waiting on disconnection letters for those also. I actually spoke with the representative from PSE&G today, because I have turned in the demolition requests, but all I've gotten back is the confirmation that they received them. So hopefully with my conversation with them, that'll move them and put us at the top of the list. Yes. You know, normal inspections, life hazard, uses non-life hazard, one to two family dwelling inspections, resale inspections, credit cards are accepted now. They can do online payments. The permit, electronic permit application process is still ongoing. The state really doesn't have everything in place yet either. The software that we use allows for it. But the problem that we have is the licensing boards for the state of New Jersey haven't adopted electronic seals yet. I know I sit on two of the licensing boards. We have approved it, but the electrical licensing board is holding everything up. Because they're special children. Fire complaints, we've had 8. There's 37 zoning applications. Resale, 114 smoke certs. Fire violations, 6. There's hearing aids. I get text messages that talk to me in my hearing aids now. Sorry. Housing inspection, you'll see there's 373 units. Those were for 23 buildings. But there was also 346 rental inspections. It's terrible when you get old. Got a hearing aids. Housing violations, there was 189. Fire investigations, there were 5. General complaints, there were 21. Local fire inspections were 53. Non-life hazard uses, 47. Re-inspections on the non-life hazard uses were 36. Life hazard uses was 31. Life hazard uses re-inspections were 27. Fire plan reviews were 2. Pre-plans were 2. Road opening permits were 10. Dale. Construction permits were 98. Construction inspections were 250 for the quarter. So just development housing. So there were 238 new units in 25 that were added. In 26 right now, we had the 60. It gives us about 2,848 rental units in town. And year to date, $132,294 that we've taken in for all the departments. That's fire safety and all the rest of them. The chief also mentioned about the trucking company. That's an ongoing problem for us also. We've written quite a few summonses and violations for that facility at this point.
Is that the entire facility or a portion of the facility?
That's just the trucking.
That pair of shop. The recent addition.
Yeah. Yes. It is, there's the chief will attest, it's a problem.
Is there, do I have anything to do with the owner of the building? I mean, is the owner responsible at all for this?
The owner is responsible for the property, but the business is the problem.
Responsible for the business.
and he doesn't have control over the business. He doesn't have control over the product. Somehow crossed. It was approved through zoning for the use, and you know, hindsight's always 50-50, right? You know, it's maybe it should have been done, but it's they're there, and now we have to deal with the repercussions.
Appreciate it. Anybody questions going forward?
Steve, how long does PSCNG usually take to follow back up with this stuff, or is that a loaded question?
PSCNG operates at their own speed. We've had things that we've asked for disconnection when we knocked the garages down on Sausage Alley. That took 3 months. And by the time we actually got that disconnection, we already had the buildings down, and they disconnected the power after the fact. We can't do that with these other buildings. And the two for Talmadge Commons, you know, they're four-unit buildings, and you can't just knock them down without having the gas. The water and sewer are our problem. We have to, you know, inspect to make sure that they are disconnected by the contractor. The electric and gas, telephone, all that is the utility companies. It's out of our jurisdiction.
Right.
Like I said, I did talk to a representative today because he was looking for something. You know, you give me something, I give you something. Hopefully, we can get something going.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Steve, just a quick question for you on Tom Collins. I was contacted by the property owner, so what sort of demolition permits can you just get it had either you or Eric as a customer? We were offered those properties just to determine.
I don't think it's any problem.
No, I just need to know that the demolition permits are the owner of the property has contacted me to offer them to us. So I just need to know what permits are.
Okay. At this point, I'm just waiting on the list of this. I have an inspector submit certification.
Yep. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Chief, do you have contact with the owner?
Matt Martino, I believe it is.
Or so?
No, I'm pretty sure. Yes, sir. Yep, I had his phone number. He reached out to me to ask us if we were interested in doing that.
So, just wait for him.
Yep, I'm just waiting on him.
All right, good. Okay. Recreation department?
Here, I received that one. I'll be the quickest because I've only been here for a few weeks. But everyone's been kind and welcoming and warm, whether it's been internally or outside. Even the Rec Advisory Board have been really nice and kind and informative. Working with staff, with MLM Party, doing seniors and special events has been great. She's got a lot of great ideas and a lot of life. A lot of energy. She ran a Valentine's Day event at the Rec Center with 77 kids. The Easter egg event had 261 children. She offered a sensory bunny trail for children with sensory special needs. There were 64 people who took advantage of that component of the event. I was here for the Battle of Elm Grove. I was still on crutches at the time, so I did not attend, but I cannot wait to attend. I love all things historic. She thanks the committee and the partnerships for making it such a successful event, and she believes that the marketing component is really supported the attendance that was there. I did get a chance to see some of the videos that were sent back, and I think they're really fantastic. They're going to do a lot of good things going into next year's event. I did meet with the Memorial Day Parade committee and with Emma. So far, there are about 30 groups marching in the parade. We're still collecting forms. Emma's made contact with Bridgewater Chevrolet to donate vehicles to transport the veterans and the Grand Marshal. The Grand Marshal is Ted Ostrowski, I hope I said that correctly, but his daughter will ride with him for the parade. The group's going to meet again, the committee, on 5/13 at the Rec Center. There'll be a picnic at Codrington Park after the parade from noon to 2. There's games and inflatables. We have food trucks and a band planned for that. Going into the other aspect of that, as the seniors, she's taken a trip with them to the Amish Market And in June, they're visiting the Vanderveer House in Bedminster for a tour. There is chair yoga and floor yoga. Both are very well attended. There was a January-February session, also a March-April session, and a Zumba Gold program for the seniors. Again, January-February, March-April. Numbers are increasing with every session. There are openings, or excuse me, registration with openings for May, June, and all of that was funded by the New Jersey Age-Friendly Health and Wellness Grants. Right now, currently, our youth programs for sports going on. We have a flag football clinic with 26 children. Our spring soccer program has 180 children playing, and baseball, softball, we have 121 children playing. We have some adult programs running. We have yoga and pickleball going on right now in the park and in the rec center, and a pottery class we'll be having in the rec center that is sold out already with 15 people. Our summer programs coming up, both Emma and I, and then Denzel Sanders and I, we interviewed potential candidates for pool staff and summer camp staff. We did 27 interviews between this past Saturday and Monday evening, so putting together a list of people to give to Jasmine for resolution for you to hire in May. I did meet some of the returning staff that we hired last Monday who worked at the pool. Fantastic bunch of young adults that I can't wait to work with. Right now, summer camp registration is at 112 kids and growing. We can take 75 kids per week, so we're still taking registration. There's 134 pool passes, memberships sold between adult, children, and seniors currently. We have the kickoff to summer event will be on June 20th once school gets out of the pool, and the 4th of July pool party. I've been working with Jasmine and Sean on the budget and with the Recreation Trust to kind of break things out a little bit and so I can see it a little more clearly, and we're working on those things and those numbers. Outside of that, does anyone have any questions I can answer?
What's the cap on our pool passes?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I don't think we've met capacity at all.
Even 4th of July was our busiest last year. Mm-hmm. And we were not turning anybody away. We were not at capacity yet.
Yeah. It's more than you think it could be, because they say as far as people through your gate, only about 25% of those people are actually going in the water. So when you look at pool numbers and how it's adjusted,
25%?
Yeah, are actually in the water that come through your gate.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Very good. Anybody else have questions? I just appreciate you. Welcome you.
Thank you. You have been. Thank you.
Being a chance to meet you. It's several meetings, so it's great to have you.
Thank you.
Fresh minds.
It's great to be here.
Ideas.
You have a great community. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
All right, we're going to jump right in. Reports, Chair of Finance, Councilwoman Phillips, also the Asia Cultural Arts Committee, and the Planning Commission.
So I'm just going to give a quick update, a correction to the budget. The tax rate is 0.738. Net reduction of $73.25 to the average homeowner due to increase in tax valuation from $1,331,499.20 to $1,429,026.07. Average home assessed at $447,665.65. Taxed at $3,302.14. 2025 average assessed tax. So just a question to the budget that the CFO.
Okay, very good. Questions on finance? Okay, how about the arts and
cultural arts? The cultural arts committee worked on the mural project for the pool, so I'm happy to announce with the leadership of Elaine, who came on board for cultural arts, as well as Kurt, who took on this project, and we have chosen a muralist. borough administrator Jasmine and our new rec director, recreation we'll meet with Tony Miles, is his name, on tomorrow, just to make a few tweaks to the vision that he has for the mural at the pool. We did have three people who submitted their proposals, and out of those proposals, Tony Mills captured the vision. And again, there's just a couple of tweaks that need to be made, and we'll meet with him tomorrow so that this project can be done. So that when we arrive there on Memorial Day, we will not only have a pool, but we will also have an amazing mural. Other things that the Cultural Arts Committee are working on are some things that Andrew has not received any final information on, so that will be at the next quarterly report. Planning Board was,
And then the mural is going on in the pool house?
Pool house, right.
Pool house.
Wonderful.
The entire pool house? The entire pool house, is that where the mural is going?
Correct. And he also had another vision, but again, that's something we will discuss. As for the planning board, meeting was adjourned until May 13th, so I have no tickets.
Okay, very good. Councilman Morris, Public Works, and Municipal Lines?
Yes. Highlights of Public Works. The two recent hires are really working out very well so far. The crew worked in preparation of the Battle of Bamburgh, which has been mentioned numerous times here. The event was fantastic. Unfortunately, April 15th being where it is, I will most likely never get to physically attend it, given my line of work. As Dale had mentioned previously, the playgrounds at Coddington have been demolished in preparation for new playgrounds to be installed. And ball field preparation is ongoing daily, as well as grass cutting. Look forward to that. I'm not going to get to see any recreation baseball this year because my nephew is now in high school, so I get to go there instead. Street sweeping has commenced for the season. I have seen the sweeper out there. This winter wreaked havoc on many of our older roadways, and we've been filling potholes as we can. New garbage truck is in production and will be here this summer, which is always good. And that's about it for public works. As far as youth services, we did have one meeting. You know, we only meet once every other month. And one of the things that the County Youth Services Commission person, I'm not sure exactly his title, shared that there is a summer youth work experience program that runs from May 26th through October 16th. I believe it's for... you could be in school, you could be graduated. I believe it's from ages 17 to 24. They pay a stipend of $17 an hour. So I posted it to the Bamburgh Parents Facebook page, and anybody else wants to share that, that would be good. They also have what is going on right now, a National Apprenticeship Week, where they try to get employers throughout the county to work with the youth in the area. That's going this week, starting Monday, May 26th, and it goes through May 2nd. Or April 26th through May 2nd. That's happening now. Other than that, we didn't really discuss much. They were very appreciative of the grant that we were able to put together for the mentoring program for Middle Earth. So that was a great help to the program. But that was about it.
Any questions? Councilman Garrett?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So all of the public safety department heads had given their reports, so pretty much covered on that. The rescue squad, I'm actually meeting with Richard Dietrich tomorrow. There's been no calls of service. He did thank us again for that recognition that we gave him earlier this year. It's definitely long overdue. The special improvement district, was a last minute scheduling conflict that we had by the representative of CDS. He asked that he come to the next council meeting to give his quarterly report. So that will be provided then by him.
Okay, very good.
So with regard to the personnel committee, a little bit of action in the last quarter. Back in March, an opening came about from the police department that has been since filled by Officer Marquise Williams. As our chief stated earlier, he began on April 14th. Gina Fornataro, sorry if I mispronounced that, my wife would kill me, started as our recreation superintendent back on April 6th. I think she's been doing a fantastic job. Welcome aboard. To bookend to that, our longtime rec director, Doreen Trindaro, left her position with the borough. I just want to take a moment to recognize her service to the borough. She made a wonderful impact. My children certainly benefited from all the hard work and dedication that she showed our town. The borough is currently reviewing the personnel manual. There's a goal to have that finalized and revised version circulated to employees by June. And then, again, echoing EMS, two candidates have been interviewed and are currently going through background checks and the retention process. With regard to the backup seniors, they met this past Monday. They recognized Susan Constantino, who was the longtime secretary who unfortunately passed last week. There's a lot going on with recreation and our seniors. Spring and summer break registration is open for chair yoga, yoga sculpting, and Zumba. There is a bus trip to the Vanderveer House in Bedminster scheduled for June 5th. It's $25 per participant, and it is in honor of the America 250th anniversary. They're also promoting the Bound Up Seniors' participation in the Memorial Day Parade and are looking to schedule a Somerset Patriots game for the club this summer.
Very good. Any questions for the council, please? All right. Economic Development, Councilman Lopez, and also Historic Preservation.
Yes. So for Economic Development, we immediately discussed April 22nd, we're going to analyze college commons proposal for financial agreements. We're working on a town proposal, so that is something good for the town, and that's what we're working on mainly on the economic development. For historic preservation, we did have a change from online meetings to hybrid, so we have the first in-person and online meeting right here in the courtroom on April 8th, mostly for discussion of how we're going to, how they are going to distribute the task of gathering documentation for denomination for the Government Historic Commercial District, which again requires a lot of work, a lot of documents, a lot of evidence, pictures, etc. So, most of the meeting was about that. The next meeting will be here, the forum on May 6th, 7 p.m., again in person or online, hopefully in person with work better every month. For recreation, Mrs. Fonatara pretty much told us everything. So again, welcome. Our next meeting will be April 27th, the fourth Wednesday of the month.
That's my dad. Very good. Any questions?
Just anything on economic development?
Yeah, I just mentioned.
We're expecting on that burnt-out building. We're expecting demolition permits, Steve, sooner or later.
Which
building? Burnt-out one. Already a 10. Like,
I have not
received any.
They technically have a demolition permit because they filed a demolition permit to knock down the stair towers. We haven't seen revised demolition with their proposed changes to the footprint. Okay. Hey, it was just in the other day. Yes, he dropped off those other two documents that we mentioned earlier.
Is there anything we could do to encourage this process to speed up? We approved everything late last year with the understanding they were going to start to do some work.
I thought that they were going to do a ribbon cutting for the start of the new project. I don't know how that's going.
Yeah, that got canceled.
Well, if they had planned on doing ribbon cutting before they got all the necessary permits, so we're not cutting any ribbons until they get the okay to start. We're not breaking grounds. We're not celebrating the groundbreaking until they get the approval to break the grounds.
That's so. Yeah, they have not gone in and revised the plan for the I'll reach out to them tomorrow.
Okay, well, code enforcement, Steve, thank you for your presentation. J-Tree, Christy's here. I'm going to read through some of these, and I know you have some thank yous that you'd like to, I think, be more impactful at the end if you came up and did those. But February Shade Tree Commission submitted the Tree City USA application to the Arbor Day Foundation. We've been approved as the as a tree city for the 21st year in a row?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. In February, we also submitted the annual accomplishments report to the State Forestry Department, which is pending acceptance. Some highlights of that is 41 trees planted, 32 trees removed, 314 trees pruned, and over 300 volunteer hours, roughly a value of about $12,500. March, the commission participated in the Donbrook Recreation Easter Egg Hunt. We had a table where the kids could make bookmarks with tree-themed stamps, and residents could pre-sign up for seedlings for Arbor Day. Early April, we had completed the 2025 tree program planting, 39 trees, some with root barrier. Battle Down Brook, there was a tulip tree planted in honor of the nation's 250th. And on to April 26th, Arbor Day, we celebrated. There was a decent turnout for that. We had this over by T Street. And we planted a very deceptive, heavily riverbrush tree. And thanks to the mayor and Kendall for assisting in getting that, moving that tree 3 feet into the hall. But that was quite an experience right there. But there was a, we were expecting to have the seedlings. We had 250 seedlings we were expecting, and they didn't show up yet for that day, but I believe they came in today.
Yeah, as I was going to interrupt, but yes, they are here tomorrow.
Roughly about 50 of them have been, you know, spoken for at the moment, so we have plenty. If anybody in the audience here or council would like a tree, there's five different types, I believe it was. Please just send an email to shadetree@donbrook-nj.org. And at that, I will leave it to you, Christy, to put some final comments and thank yous.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it. Christy Colbert, I'm chair of the Donbrook Shade Tree Commission. So again, I just wanted to extend a thank you again to Mayor Longo for coming and raising the proclamation, the council members who attended. Thank you for being there. Really appreciate it. And especially want to thank Public Works, who are very forgiving of my last-minute requests, including helping me find a location to plant a tree and digging a hole. So it's very much appreciated. And, yeah, we have a lot of seedlings to give away. We have five different kinds of trees. This was one of our goals, to get 250 new trees planted in Bound Brook. I think it's a really fun project, but needless to say, we need a lot more people to take these trees. So we've got a few red buds left that haven't been claimed for. We have gray dogwoods. We've got more shade than sun. We've got some river birds. So if you've got creeks running through your backyard, or you have water that stands after heavy rains, please take a river birch. If you've got a little extra space, we've got some scarlet oaks, and we have Colorado blue spruce, so a very showy tree. So lots of fun selections. And again, contact the Shade Tree Commission if you guys would like to get on those lists. And we did get the seedlings. We picked them up already. So we're going to do some preparation with them. And then we'll be scheduling some events where people can come and pick them up. And we're going to talk with Recreation back at the table at school, where we might be able to do a little more distribution of the remaining seedlings. So we'll look into that. So thank you all again. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Very good. No question. All right, thank you, Department Hibbs and Councilor. Okay. All right, introduction of ordinances, first reading. Ordinance 26-17, ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 21, Land Use, Section 21-10 of the Ordinance.
General Business, B1 District, under the five ordinance of the Borough of Bamberg to permit food established in the B1 zone. I need a motion to move the ordinance. First reading for a public hearing on May 26th.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Roll call.
President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Folks?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes.
This is following ordinances, final reading and consideration, ordinance 26-15, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 2, Administration, Section 2-22.11, entitled Annual Stipend Policy, for the revised general ordinance of the Borough of Bamberg to increase the stipend amount and require electronic submission of run sheets for the fire department. I need a motion for public comment.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Anybody from the public wish to comment on the 26-15?
With the changes that were put out into our operational guidelines that are currently being reviewed by the department, I would ask that the council would consider tabling for the guidelines to be approved by the department and approved by the administrator and fire department liaison prior to this being approved.
So your
Our guidelines, or no, our operating guidelines specify the stipend policy, and they specify the call for it. We submitted them out to the fire companies at the last Board of meeting. The fire companies are currently doing a review of them, and if there's any changes that it's going to be, they'll be brought back to the next board meeting. And once they are approved by the county department, they'll be submitted to the administrator and fire department for a resolution on the entire guidelines, not just the press paper, false statement, and all of them.
So your guideline will cover the run sheet stuff, and we'll have your request that we make the ordinance jive with your...
Correct, and if there's any changes or wishes that the council has for legal fields that need to be made, we can definitely work together to get that change made and straightened out. If you guys feel that it needs to move forward tonight, by all means, but my ask is that we get our guidelines in accordance with what you guys would like, and once we're on the same page and we can jive together and legal obviously reviews it, then we can make the entire guideline for the resolution. I don't know if the guidelines can be ordinance because they change throughout the year, but definitely a resolution.
This particular topic would have to be an ordinance with some code books, so that's amended within the code. But I understand what the point is.
All right, anyone else from the public with comment? All right, the motion to close for public comment?
Motion.
Second? Anyone else? Does anyone wish to make a motion to table?
I'd like to make a motion to table.
Second. Roll call. Seconding. 26-7.
Table, right?
Yes.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Folks?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes.
Okay. Step 15 is table. All right, discussion of resolution 26-115, a resolution introducing the 2026 municipal budget. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
A roll call to schedule for a public hearing on May 26th at 7 p.m.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Ford?
Yes.
Councilman Guerin?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
No.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Steele?
No.
Okay, May 26th hearing will be a resolution 26-116, a resolution for temporary emergency appropriations. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Roll call on 26-116.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Folks?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Steve?
Yes.
26-117, a resolution authorizing the execution of conditional designation and interim cost agreement with T-Mobile Northeast LLC for the installation of a rooftop telecommunication facility on property known as Tax Block 34, Lot 6, located in the redevelopment Area 1, Subarea 1.6. A motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
A roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fultz?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Resolutions 118-122. Was there one in front of the governing body just to pull any of those? We discuss them separately. All right, then I need a motion to accept 118-122.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Any unfinished business? Anyone have any unfinished business?
I have a question. Councilman Morris, we have been waiting on the funds for the information regarding the library. Where do we stand at that? We've had several council meetings, and we have not received the what's in this library fund.
There's no authority over the library funds anymore. The original commission member or advisory board member that had access to that account was not reinstated, so she has no authority over that
okay,
account.
But
so
you indicated in meeting that you knew to the dollar how much money was in this fund. So
but I don't have access to that anymore.
So who has access to this?
I guess the borough will have to contact the bank.
Borough Administrator Jasmine McCoy, can you please submit a letter requesting that we get full access to those funds as a borough?
Okay. Any other business? Any new business? Approval of vouchers, 26-123, resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $1,866,414.88. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Here, roll call.
Council President Lopez?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fultz?
Yes.
Councilman Guerin?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Steve?
Yes.
Once again, we are open to the public for any comments. Just come forward. See if you can. Very good. Any executive session? No. Then I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All
in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight.
You see?
No.